T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill with you. Hope everybody's hanging in there. A little bit of a gut punch yesterday, even though it was expected, I think. I think we all knew this thing wasn't going to end anytime soon. So it looks like we'll be hunkering down for another month. And all we
told me not to hold
to
on to April. Yeah, remember April 7th, I was one of those holding out hope. You and Bonte told me, Goo, that might be a little overzealous. So now we'll see if this next one, how our country's doing. But I just think I may not. I miss you, too. I don't know if you guys miss me actually physically seeing me. I miss you, too, man. I miss Pappas and Kyle. Seriously. I need to go get a checkup, but I miss you guys.
I miss that studio, man. I miss that studio. I miss the interactions, no doubt about it. It's a lot of things I miss, but definitely miss you guys and not doing the show together or prepping and arguing and all that stuff. You know, you miss the little things. I miss my little handshake with Heather at the front desk coming in from the come in on the second floor, come out of the elevator. Heather and Pam are right there. I got a special handshake with those two. And I miss doing that handshake with them. So it's a lot of things we miss. And just to think that it's another month, man, it's gonna test our patience, man. By the way, you guys, no haircuts either. Like, I'm just gonna let the hair grow. So, no haircuts, no studio. Yeah, it's tough times right now for sure. But we're here to uplift people.
Well, no, Steiny, go ahead, because that's funny he mentioned that, because I need your guys' help. You mentioned Facebook, Steiny, and I'm on it a bit too much, but you need some type of getaway just to see what's going on, and I want to see where you guys come in on this real quick. So I have a friend that used to be my barber, and he went on Facebook yesterday and just obliterated all the barbers that are doing house calls. Because I don't know if you guys are noticing, Bonte, there's a lot of barbers doing house calls in the garages of their clients, and they're posting it on Instagram. So everybody's in a financially, you know, different realm, and they need their money. And I guess if the person needs a haircut that bad, you know, they're saying come over. Anyway, the barber went on, the older barber, how the barbers are being selfish by doing house calls and what makes them better than anybody else, and everybody's hair is busted up. And I just sat there like, who is he to say that? But he's got some great points. But then on the flip side, fellas, I'm like, who's he to tell the other guy, you know, is it different than going to the store? Where do you guys come out on that, Steiny? Do you think a barber making a house call is major violation of social distancing? Or, Bonte, both of you, where do you guys come out on that? Because I was like, one hand, who, not jealous, but who the hell are you to tell people what they're going to do with their business, per se? Especially if the client says, come over to my home in the garage. But I guess when you do get a haircut, you're in close proximity. So I asked my wife about it. She was kind of in the middle, but just, I know I'm rambling, but off the top, do you think that barber was foul to go in on the other barbers that are actually doing house calls?
He did it on Facebook?
Yeah, he did it on Facebook, well, Steiny.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's where you do it, right? I mean, you have a Facebook page. You put what you want on Facebook.
I hate
you got
social
a problem,
media.
That's where you
he
put
didn't
it
mention
on.
Any names. You're right. He well, didn't
so,
mention no, any
so,
names.
So, like, the fact that he put that on Facebook, I don't have a problem with that at all. That's what Facebook's for, stuff like that. Now, doing it itself, I'm not there yet.
Okay. You know, like I had a guy come into the backyard, my buddy Dana, but nobody's come into that. Nobody comes into the house right now. So I'd probably say no to that, a stranger. But, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been, you know, I've had contact with one or two guys outside the family. When I say contact, I don't even mean like hugging or anything. I just mean like not even within. Yeah. No, it hasn't even been within 6 feet. I went over to my buddy Dana's house, went into the backyard, and sat 10 feet apart from him for an hour and had a couple beers the other day. You know, I can't go in his house. Had to come in this other entrance because the one on the other side is the one he uses. And honestly, I almost felt like probably shouldn't be doing that either.
Wow.
But, you know, we all make our own kind of our own rules. You know, I certainly haven't been entertaining. I certainly haven't been, you know, I've been pretty solid with most of it.
You better be careful.
But I have, you know, been around a friend or two, but not within 6 feet in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you, how do you react to that post? Is he on point, or do you feel like, you know what, he was out of pocket?
Well, you know, barbers have to make their money, right? You think about everything that's shut down, and a barber makes his living off giving haircuts. And what is he supposed to do this month? I think the house calls is totally fine now. If that person is comfortable with the barber coming to his house to cut his hair, then I think it's okay. I wouldn't post it up on Facebook, and I wouldn't do all that, because then you get into a situation to where it looks like you're soliciting clients. Okay. You're trying to steal clients from other barbers, and that's where you draw the line at. But I personally don't have a problem with the house calls, because I understand the situation the barbers are in. Your shop gets shut down. What are you supposed to do? That's how you make a living. So if you need to make a house call and get into the car and use your gas and drive somewhere to give a cut, I had no problem with that. As long as the person who's getting the haircut is okay, and as long as the barber is not stealing clients from other barbers, then I'm cool with it.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually, I didn't even think about that point, but I guess that's certainly one of them. Stealing somebody's business. By the way, yeah. Goo, gosh, I don't know if I'll be able to find it. But yeah, hey, Goo.
What's he got?
I forgot to bring this up. Shoot. Now, do you see you were in a story,
job.
Guru?
Yeah, a couple of people sent it to me, Stoney. A little quote for the show.
Hey, Goo, have you ever...
Bruce is awesome.
Has there ever been a time when you've been mentioned anytime and you haven't seen it? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, let me ask you this, Goo. Be honest.
Go ahead.
Do you have an alert on Google for Daryl the Guru Johnson?
Yep. I didn't even know you could make an alert, but after we get done with this show today or during the break, I'll do it. But no, I did not even know that that was feasible, my friend.
Oh, yeah, you could do that if you want.
Those are DTs.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Stiney, wow. Yeah, because yesterday my phone went off. I actually even sent it to Bonte. I figured you would, you know, Bruce, I figured you knew the article was out, but, it was a great article, a lot of information, and he listened to our show because that was the whole sequence of what we talked about, and I remembered it.
Yeah, no, he definitely listened to the show, and he also but he called me to talk to me.
Right, no,
off the air, you know.
Wow.
I mean? Yeah,
I'm a snob. Tendencies.
Yeah, so. Vontae, who we working with? Man.
I know, man. But, hey, he got our quotes in there, though. He got the quote.
Yeah,
he got the quotes about me driving by Ocean Beach, and he got your quote, Guru. So, and shout out to Bruce Jenkins. I read him. Fellas?
Legend.
That was my – I looked up to him growing up in the city. I used to always read the Three Dot Lounge every Saturday, and that was my favorite column. And that was my favorite column in the Chronicle growing up. And I was like, if I ever write, I want to write a column – kind of like Bruce Jenkins. So when I went to City College of San Francisco, I had this column called The Water Cooler, and I structured it like Bruce Jenkins was structured at Three Dot Loud. So it was good to get some love from Bruce Jenkins on a Saturday afternoon.
Stiney, yeah, you talk about Mount Rushmore of the writers. I remember Ira Miller, Scott Osler, our very own Ray Ratto, and Bruce Jenkins.
Scott Osler's still doing it.
Yeah, they're all
I know. He had a column, Osler. things I jotted down on my 8.5 by 11. So, you know, I was singled in and youngster, so I had a long night, wake up to the Chronicle. I'd be like, this Scott, he's a bad dude. But we got some icons, man. That was a great article by Bruce. Why is he laughing, Bonte?
You know why I'm laughing.
I don't know.
Of course it was a great article.
Know.
Oh, no. Let's go out, baby. Well, you got a cute key. Oh, it's a great shirt, you know. But Bruce, he's a legend.
Yeah, Bruce, we're in tough times. If we were in the studio at times, or he probably wouldn't have wrote the article. And there's some things I would have tinkered in that article if I was young, if I was Bruce Jenkins. I'm not going to show my DTs right now.
DTs.
I'll just see Bruce in person the next time we're at a sporting event, and I'll just have a nice little off-the-record chat with Mr. Bruce Jenkins.
Man.
And we can't forget Ann Killian. We got who? I'm forgetting one. I'm forgetting a couple.
You're forgetting
a
ton.
Here.
Well, you see, this is why you don't want to start something.
John Crump.
You're one of them, Steiny.
John
you're
Crump
one of them. Steiny's
no,
one of
those.
Them. Santa Rosa
no,
Press
not,
Democrat.
No, I'm not in the league. Thank you. I'm not in the league with the Killians and the Osslers.
Got you.
And the Jenkins.
Yep.
Let's go to John. John's a barber. He wants to get
who the
into
hell is
the,
John?
He wants to get into the barber convo. John in San Mateo. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well.
Good. You know, I'm not a barber, but I wanted to just comment on the barber situation. I mean, I think
not a doctor.
I think it's pretty dicey territory, man. Because if these guys are going in and doing house calls, then if they get sick and they're just going on to house call, then they can be going and infecting all the other families.
Right.
Like that's my biggest concern. I mean, I know they got to make money, but simultaneously, at this point, we're trying to keep people, you know, separate from one another, and it doesn't feel like to me that a barber is considered an essential business right now. You know, and that's do you guys think that's an essential business?
Well,
I'm gonna say no.
I'm with you. I just like I can't stop anybody from doing anything, but I wouldn't have someone come into my house to cut my hair. For them and for me. It's just not right now. I would not do that now. But, and I get who am I? I don't have a problem with a guy saying
who are you
he thinks it's wrong. But I'm not going to be the guy to call the cops either.
Right, I got because and most of these have taken place in the garage. Not that that makes it right, but normally, and Bonte, you could attest to this. The barber went so much detail to where he said now with the situation we have with the CV-19, barbers can get the EDD. They qualify. So he went as far to say you're risking people's lives and this virus continuing when you can go through EDD because barbers are, you know, qualified now for this help. And I was sitting there like he's giving a whole tutorial, but that call is right, Steiny. And I kind of was 50-50, but to keep this thing, to beat it, I just know we have to sit our asses down. And by you going to do a haircut and be within six feet of a client, that's telling me not that you'll create it, but more likely you won't create it. So just lay off and don't do it. That's where I'm at, Bonte. I don't know, you know, how you feel about it.
I hear you, man. That's a great point. Go collect your unemployment. But, you know, there's money-hungry people out here. People are greedy, and we know about that. And so it wouldn't surprise me if these barbers who are doing house cuts are still collecting unemployment and doing the house cuts, so they're doubling up their money. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
Right point.
I mean, is it essential? Probably not, but you know everybody's. I mean, I wouldn't. Again, I can just answer for myself. I wouldn't have a barber come into my house to cut my hair right now, or anybody.
How are you looking above the head, Steiny? Right now, are you looking at yourself like, man, I need a cutter? I'm all right. I'm a bit long, fellas. Yeah.
I'm fine. I mean, I'm
mediocre.
Fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My hair right now is very mediocre. Very,
you know what, fellas? I look so bad right now that when I'm walking down the street to grab a cup of coffee or something, people are walking into the street to make sure they keep their 6 feet away from me. Like, they're veering so far off the sidewalk. It's like, man, do I look that bad? Jeez, do I need to shave or something? It's
Steiny,
looking rough,
he might
fellas.
Be putting 2 out of 10. He don't look that bad. But you got a little afro, Bonte? Is it starting to fro a little
bit? It's coming, man. It froze bad. The stuff under the neck. Oh, man, it's bad.
They got that sexy body and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I think there's a lot of, there's a few things like this. I mean, I bet there's people out there that when I say, you know, I drove to San Leandro and walked into my buddy's backyard and sat 10 feet from him and drank a few beers and listened to some music, I think there's probably people out there that would say, yeah, you shouldn't do that. That's even too much. Or that's, you know, that you shouldn't even be doing that. But I mean, that's kind of a decision that I've made. You know what I mean? I guess you could say I'm wrong for it, but I'm like, that's where I'm at. I wouldn't have a barber come into my house. I will go to somebody's front yard and talk to him 10 feet away.
You're practicing your 6 feet, Stoney. So to me, I'm just saying this, and I mean it. But I wish I had somebody in that close proximity to where I could invite over, and we go in the backyard, and they be 10 feet away from me. Because to me, just looking at the rules and doing our part, I feel like, you know, you're within bounds of that territory. Now, if you were right next to each other or even in your home, then I'm like, you know what, come on. But if you're that far, I don't see what the difference is than when we go to the grocery store, because I've been going to the grocery store, fellas, and I'm like, why isn't it just 10 people at a time? You know, we're all, and I know we're getting essential products to keep living, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of people in there, and I'm saying to myself, well, we could be messing it up just by doing it this way, to where they don't got it just 10 people at a time or 5 people at a time, which I know is unrealistic. But at the end of the day, Stoney, I don't think you're out of bounds. And I wish I had somebody close enough to where I could use that exercise, because it would help me tremendously.
Thanks for the kind words from Joe in American Canyon. He just said thank you for being on the air and
BFG gang.
By the way, the 650 with a very good point. It says Steiny hasn't showered regularly, so what do you think he cares about his hair?
This guy stinks!
Yeah, actually, you know what?
Great point.
Nah, I changed. On Friday, I was like, that's the first thing he can do. Yeah, start showering more often. So I'm more clean now than I have been.
Every day, Steiny? Every day showers
thank
now?
Thank you, Matthew.
I didn't say that. I just said a little more frequently. Let's just put it
you
that way.
You showered during the – we had Pete Rose. We've had some good stuff go on BS&G. But if I'm correct, I was driving up with
Pete Rose.
Nah, I missed him. I heard him, though.
He missed you.
I went back and listened to it, man. He's just – hey, Pete was unplugged or uncensored.
Hey, did you hear him ask where you were, Guru?
Nah, Pete didn't ask where I was.
Yeah, he did.
Bonte, now call me.
I don't remember that one, Steiny. I'm not even going to space.
No. It was before the show. Kyle was saying, hey, Pete, you know, we got Steiny, Bonte, and we got JD in for Guru. And he said, what's going on with the Guru? Is he all right? And he said, yeah.
That just made my day. Why'd you do that, Steiny?
What?
You gotta keep that close to the vest, man.
Kyle,
you just
is that true?
Grew up so. Oh my lord!
Yeah. I mean, I didn't obviously give him specifics or know really what was going on, but I was like, yeah, you know, he's just dealing with some stuff. We'll be back next week. You want to push the interview back? And he said, no, we'll just do it today. So yeah,
I'm walking 8 miles today.
Oh man,
dude, he was like,
I'm hella excited, my man.
Wow, Kyle was telling me that Pete was like, I hope. Well, tell him I hope everything's all right. Now he goes. He said, "I like that dude."
Oh man!
Yeah.
Wow, Bonte.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys take over. I need a minute. I need a little Thursday.
You can pump this guy up, man. We're never going to hear the end of this.
He also then asked if you played anywhere, or if you were an athlete. And she said no, that you just played recreationally.
But the highlights. I hate that word. Well, for other purposes, I'm okay with it. But for my sport career, I don't like that.
Actually, you know what? I don't think he might not have said.
Back in my
day. He might not have said he missed you. But he knew something was different. Let's just put it that way. I could tell that he knew something was different, that you weren't here.
So you just tricked me.
No, that's not a trick. No, he did.
Yeah.
Kyle did say, you know, JD in for Guru, and he said, "Ah, what's going on with the Guru?"
Oh, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Mm. After I celebrated so hard, I came out of that game.
You're ready to take a victory lap, man.
Liar! Well, Bonte, I still think I am a little bit.
hey, Guru, you would have loved this version of Pete Rose.
Oh, I heard of him. He was on fire. Wow, guns blazing.
Yeah, he was a little bit wound up.
I like that.
He's getting a little cooped up.
Yeah, antsy, as they call it.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, what do we got? Do we have to get the Wheel of Fun out of the closet? Or is it out already? The guys leave it out on the morning show, or do we have to go unlock it?
No, it's out. Give us just 1 second to spin it.
Yeah, okay.
Did you have some good ones while I was gone?
Not really, no.
No, we did, Steiny. We had a good one on Thursday.
You know it.
If there was one guy, Guru,
you had to interview.
One guy, it could be anybody. Who would you interview? I think Steiny, where did you go? I forget where Steiny went. I went with Wilt Chamberlain. JD, who did JD go? I forget who JD went with.
Who did JD go with?
One guy.
I can't remember.
And we could ask him anything.
Anything.
Yeah, who would you want to interview?
Everything's on the table.
Of all time.
I'm about to tell you, and you guys are going to – I don't know why you guys have this reaction every time I bring him up, but I'm going to say O.J. Simpson. And I would ask him, did you do it?
Oh. Yeah.
If I knew I wasn't going to get fired, Steiny, I would be O.J. What happened? What were you doing in the Bronco? What happened? Talk to him.
Enough, buddy. I got this from O.J.
Anyway, that's what I would do, Steiny. Send me on that assignment. I'm asking.
I forget who JD said, to tell you the truth. I can't remember, but it was a good one. I think I yelled Newt Rockne right before the show
ended. Jim Thorpe.
Oh, Jim Thorpe. Yeah, I'm going to change it to Newt Rockne then.
And what would you ask him?
Actually, you know who I would interview? Dead serious? Jesse Owens.
Wow, that's a good one.
There you go.
That's a good one.
So that was one of the questions. And we'll throw that out to the listener, 888-957-9570. You can interview one person in sports history.
Do you guys want us to spin it before break or after break?
What do you think? I got to tell you, I feel like I'm rusty today.
We can spin it now and then tease the
question.
I think you're vintage, Steiny mode.
Okay, go ahead, Pappas. Let's do it that way. Come on, be a good one. One time.
Big bucks, no whammies. If you weren't working in radio, what would you be doing?
Oh,
wow. I like that.
That is a good one.
Not what would you want to be doing, what would you realistically be doing, right?
Not both.
Okay.
Jeez. All right, so think about it, save it for the next side. And
all right.
And now...
So you better have good ones. No excuse now.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
The problem is
I hate social media.
Throw that out to the listener, too. If they weren't doing what they're doing, what would they do? How about that? But nobody's going to call. Oh, I'll tell you what. I had a great question on Twitter over the weekend. Just absolutely phenomenal. I listed my Mount Rushmore of coaches that I would have loved to have played for.
Oh, this.
So in other words, I had, like, I just used basketball, but you can use any sport, doesn't matter. So I had, let me see if I can find it. I had John Wooden, Phil Jackson, Pete Carril, and Paul Westhead when he was coaching LMU. Get it?
And that's the one Magic got fired, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
After he won a title.
Why him, Steiny? Paul? Or I don't know if we got enough time, but why Paul? Because all the others I agree with, but I was like, Paul, how did he get on the list?
Did you ever watch Loyola Marymount when he coached him?
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. You don't think you wouldn't like to play when they're scoring 170 points a game?
I would, but... Yeah. My list just included guys that can make me better off the court. You know,
well, like, do you know anything about Paul Westhead?
No.
Exactly. Well, you should read up
Guru
on him.
Guru of Go.
You should read up on him because he's a Renaissance man. Paul Weston, coached the LaSalle, then coached the Lakers. What a title with a why would you think Paul Westhead couldn't make you a better player? What do you think?
No, I'm not saying he couldn't. Again, it ain't ignorance, but I didn't know much about him outside of Magic got him fired and he had that run at LMU.
Right. But when where, you he say, played, where he played the most offensive style of basketball?
No,
yes,
it
that's
was
why
genius.
I'd like to play there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's still alive, actually, Paul Westhead.
Like I would say Phil Jackson, not only – he would give me a book. He would tell me
but
what to.
But you wouldn't read it.
That's not. I'm reading. I'm trying to read. I wouldn't be Kaepernick when you give me the videos and I don't log in. I'd read it.
No Popovich or Coach K? What's up, fellas? Come on.
Wow. Coach K, to me, I would never want to play for him. I don't
what?
Like Coach K. Nah, I don't like Coach K. Don't like
You think
it.
He's a little phony, Steiny?
I don't
or
like
what?
The player. No, I don't. I think he's I think he's a little too arrogant. I think he's got, you know, he reminds me a little bit of Joe Paterno at Penn State.
Wow.
Just thinks he runs every, like, he thinks he runs Duke, which he very well may. But I also think I don't like a coach like that who, for as successful as he is, he spends way too much crying to the officials. I can't stand that. Like, that's one reason I like Phil Jackson for the most. Like, he didn't spend all game. Like, I can't stand when people say, oh, he's just – look at him working the officials. The hell does
but
that
he
do?
But wouldn't he do it at the press conference, though?
That's fine.
Which was
but
almost
– watch Mike Krzyzewski. All he does, he considers coaching complaining half the time. Like, I can't stand coaches
That's
that go into a game and are less – you know, that worry about the officials more than their own team. There you go. There's my
real quick, fellas. Dean Smith, I go with Dean Smith.
Hold on,
save
Jackson. Save it.
All right, I'll save it.
Save it for after the break, and we'll tease it, and we'll throw that out to everybody at 888-957-9570. You can play for any. Who are the top four coaches that you would have loved to have played for any sport? And here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, and it's brought to you by ChiltonAutoBody.com. I want your Mount Rushmore of coaches you would have loved to have played for. It's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Our world has changed dramatically, and Chilton Auto Body is committed to helping maintain a sense of normalcy. All Bay Area Chilton Auto Body locations are still open to support you. They will even deliver your car to you when it's ready to drive again. In other words, they'll come pick up your car, take it to the shop, and bring it right back to your door in these times. So schedule your appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Stein, Matt Stahl, the Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill with you. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. Start to their week. Start to the week. End of the week. Middle of the week. What's the difference?
It's all the same.
Anybody else losing track of days? What day it is?
Yes.
Maybe not today so much, but jeez. And you know,
I just know Monday. Have you ever looked forward to Mondays
as much as you
have over the weekend? Like I was looking forward to Monday as soon as we're off the air Friday, starting.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far.
I saw something funny on the other day. And it was, this quarantine changed the week from 7 days to three, yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's how I feel very much.
I like that.
Well, how about this? Is anybody else experiencing yesterday. Anything like this? Okay, we've been doing this kind of forever. It feels like, even though it's only been 2 weeks, now it's going to be another month. It's like, oh, my God. And yet, are the days going fast for anybody else?
Yes.
They
it's
are
like
flying,
really weird.
Man.
The show's over at 2. I mess around for a couple hours. I look at the clock, and it's like 8:15 at night. It's really
it's
weird.
Not cool. It is real weird. And I looked at the clock here, the phone, thinking, okay, we're still in 10 o'clock hour. It's almost 12. It's just flying.
Yeah,
I don't know if the days are flying, man. Yesterday was a long day. I had crammed like five. I had binged like five episodes of Ozark, and it was still only like 2:30. I'm like, man, what's going on here? And it just got slower and slower and slower. And hell, if the days were moving fast, maybe I wouldn't have fired off 1,500 tweets last night. I mean, it was just like, I need to get to bed somehow, some way. The days are moving slow for me, fellas. It's moving slow. Show moves fast, but the overall day moves slow for me.
All right. That's interesting, because it's really weird, because after the show's over, it feels like no time goes by, and the next thing you know, it's getting ready for bed. But
yeah.
All right, so I threw this out on Twitter, just messing around a couple days ago. I was asking people, hey, you know what, let's go to the phone first. They dropped Steve in Alameda, call back. He had a Jesse Owens story. I wanted to hear. I'll take a Jesse Owens story any day of the week. So, talking about great coaches in different kinds of sports, and so as it pertained to basketball, I threw out there my Mount Rushmore of coaches that I would have loved to have been good enough to play for, or you know, if I could actually play at that level, a coach that I would have loved to have played for. So I had. John Wooden, I had, Paul Westhead, just because Paul Westhead was the coach of Loyola Marymount, and they scored a ton of points back in the day. Pete Carrill, the coach of Princeton, and Phil Jackson. So let's do it by sport. Let's do it by sport. How about that? Now you guys can, and it's 888-957-9570. If people want to jump in here and tell me why there are certain coaches you would have liked to have played for.
All right. When it comes to basketball, Dean Smith is at the top of the list for me. Always seemed cool, calm and collected, was chilling, coached some great players. Always wanted to play for Dean Smith. Loved those Tar Heel teams. Pat Riley, number two. Pat Riley, number two. Phil Jackson, number three. I had Chuck Daly as my fourth, but I've been watching a lot of Celtics basketball, especially the vintage Celtics, 80s, some of the 60s, some of the 70s. Red Auerbach is a guy I would love to play for. The Victory Cigar seemed like he didn't care about color, especially back in the 50s and 60s. Red Auerbach seemed like he'd be the guy I want to play for. So Auerbach, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, D. Smith.
Nice list, man.
Cool.
So I got Chuck Daly. I know you, Steiny, you call me crazy, Bonte, but Chuck Daly to me, he just seems like a guy that would sit you down and tell you what the hell you needed to know, right or wrong. And I know 50 million coaches could fit that, but Chuck just had style. He dressed well. He had a head full of hair, man. I just always looked at a guy like, you know what? You've been there. I believe what you're trying to tell me. So he didn't have any type of lying tendencies to me. I didn't know him personally, fellas, but I always felt like Chuck Daly was real. And I looked up and down that roster. Not one player, I could be wrong, ever said a bad thing about Chuck Daly. So that's major respect there. I had Phil Jackson again, the books. He would make me grow off the court, Steiny. I just feel like I would, you know, to meditate. I would just learn something from him. And then I'm going to shock you here, John Thompson. Because John was like,
oh, that's a good one.
He reminded me of my father, man. And I couldn't imagine, I've never been coached that hard to where at the end of the day, you could tell the difference that it wasn't, he didn't like you. He just wanted you to grow and get better. But he would give it to you like that reverend or that dad, you know, and it would be a tough lesson. And you would be better for it. And I'm going to shock you with the last two, I may. Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr, because I believe if we ever got into it, he would be the type of coach to give me that minute or 2 minutes, however long I needed, to get something off my chest. And not that I would throw teammates under the bus or if I had a problem with what he was doing. Kerr just strikes me as the type of guy that would, like Ann Landers, get it off your chest. I'm not going to say you're right or wrong, but I'll let you know what I do think and what's going to happen moving forward after you say what you say, but I won't hold it against you. And to me, that means a lot. And the last one is a guy I could be at the bar with or do a little Snoop Dogg back in my day, and that's Don Nelson. I mean, if I were to be able to just have a drink and get tipsy with my coach fellas, that to me would be the ultimate bonding session to where I just feel like I would go give you my all and some.
We can do another question.
You know I'm on one.
This is a question.
It was about Rushmore. You did five.
Plus, I thought it was his top five. My bad.
Not six.
Well, plus, the other thing is the question was which coach would you have loved to have played for, not which coach you would have liked to smoke weed with.
I was day drinking. Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't be the same coach.
When I said that.
Okay.
My football list, I got you. I got it.
By the way, I know somebody who can say a bad word about Chuck Daly.
No way, Steiny. Who?
My brother. My brother.
Oh. Well, you got me there. What would it be?
You want the story?
Yeah.
I want the story.
You want the story? All right, here's the story. The story is Chuck Daly, early in his career, coached at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. He's a Pennsylvania guy. So when he was coaching at Penn, my brother went to the University of Pennsylvania and tried to make the freshman team as a walk-on. Wow. So, at that time, freshmen could not play varsity in the Ivy League. In other words, you'd go in as a freshman, you could not play varsity basketball.
Never knew that.
Year. So, the 1979 team that Penn, the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird NBA Finals, Penn was a team that was in the Final Four. They pulled upsets all along the way, and they ended up getting to the Final Four. University of Pennsylvania, not Penn State. Anyway, my brother had gone to Penn that freshman year, so they had four seniors on their team. Well, my brother was trying to make a freshman team where the freshmen on that team would end up going to the Final Four as seniors. So, and none of those freshmen could play varsity, even though they were good enough to play varsity. You know what I mean? So it's like they had a hell of a recruiting class. My brother tried to make the team as a walk-on. He couldn't because they had about four freshmen that had to stay on the freshman team, even though they were really good. And so he blames Chuck Daly to this day for cutting him.
Wow.
He thinks he could have played on a Final Four team if Chuck Daly wouldn't have screwed him. There you go. I got the one guy who can say something bad about Chuck Daly.
And of course it was a Stuyvesant school. It was a Stuyvesant.
Yeah. Out of Pennsylvania.
Now he
go back to New York, Steinmetz. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, my brother, didn't matter who would have coached there, he wasn't gonna be able to play, but there you go. Yeah, and the same thing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor at the time. He didn't play. He didn't play varsity basketball at UCLA when he was a freshman. He played on the freshman team, and that was the big joke. The joke was that UCLA was number one in the country, and the second best team in the country was Bill Walton. Lou Alcindor's freshman team because he couldn't play.
Wow.
I want to say. I'm not sure if Bill Walton came under that or not. Bill Walton might not have played 4 years either. But
think the reason it was behind that rule? Because I would never like that rule.
So that guys could get accustomed to college. Guys and women could get accustomed to college before having to worry about playing a varsity sport.
Wow.
They actually were thinking about education, I believe. Crazy.
Now they just throw them to the fish. Just throw them to the wolves.
How about let's do it for let's do it for baseball. What baseball manager would you have loved to have played for? Your Mount Rushmore.
Ooh. I go Dusty Baker, wristbands, toothpick, players coach, players manager. Love me some Dusty Baker. Billy Martin's crazy ass because I kind of like crazy. He reminds me of my high school football coach, Dave McKeefe, who would just yell at us, berate us, have us running wind sprints, but he toughened us up. Billy Martin was that guy. Joe Torre, because he was always cool in a dugout. I mean, I don't think he said more than five words in a dugout while managing the game, but he had that look. He had that look, that gleam in his eye where you knew you had to play hard for him, and if you didn't bust your ass down the first baseline or something, he'd yank it. Joe Torre is number three for me. And then, Giants fans, close your ears. But from afar, and this was a tough pick because I was going to throw Tony La Russa out here, but I'm going with Tommy Lasorda.
No, Tommy Lasorda.
I'm sorry, Giants fans, but Tommy Lasorda from afar, I was always jealous of his arrogance, his confidence, the way he strutted, the way he smiled, the way he was animated. Lasorda will be on my Mount Rushmore for baseball managers. Would love to play for him.
Goo?
And I got Chuck Tanner. Former Pirate manager, won a World Series in 79. And I always talk about he would tell me what I need to know, fellas. He was one of those guys, like a senator or like a politician, but you could trust him. So Chuck Tanner, he just fit he just reminded me of my first Little League coach in Union City. Chuck Tanner would always smile, and as a young kid, I would watch the post-game pressers, and you would just hear him talk, and you'd be like, you know what? I didn't have kids at the time, but I would trust my son or daughter with him. And that was Chuck Tanner, aggressive as a coach. I'm going to shock you with this one. Earl Weaver, because I need some fire. Sometimes you're out there lazy, Steiny. You see another teammate getting away with stuff. That wouldn't happen under his watch. And I could go to the plate, Guru, go for that 3-run bomb, swing for the fences. This is what we do here. And I'm like you. I'm a Bonte. I got Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda, how can you not just – what he brought to the game, not only with X's and O's, what he stood for, he just made your team feel like a family. So I had Lasorda, and then I'm going to shock a lot of people. A competitor, Bruce Bochy.
Okay, these are the Mount Rushmores.
He's a competitor.
Now.
I got four.
Okay.
So Bochy, Lasorda, Weaver, and Tanner.
Nice job, Goo.
Bochy, Lasorda.
Weaver and Chuck Tanner. That's a hell of a list.
Okay, I got So I can't take a half a second to cross the fifth guy off my list before I got
Simon,
here.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
Guys, easy on the buttons right
I'm
now.
I'm done with you, sucker.
That ain't us, right?
Easy on the buttons
sure
right
happy
now.
Happy Baptist.
It's not just me.
Clint Eastwood.
I got Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel. I got Jim Leland. Jim Leland.
I forgot Jim.
Anderson. Sparky Anderson of the old Cincinnati Reds and Detroit Tigers. And then I don't know why. There's just something about this guy I kind of like. Joe Maddon. Give me Joe Maddon. I'll play for Joe
Maddon. Wow, Steiny. I think his act wears, you know, you'll get tired of it after a while, but
maybe.
Who am I to say? I ain't played for him, but Joe Maddon.
Actually, you know what? I'll change it. I'm going to change Maddon. I'm going to make it, you know who? I'm going to make it.
What?
Pete Rose. I want to play for Pete Rose.
Wow. Pete. Wow.
Hey, by the way, Pete Rose, when he was on with us, he has no problem talking about the gambling. He has no problem talking about how they used to bet on the dogs during spring training. I'm like, Pete, you're trying to get to the Hall of Fame.
What? Spring training, Bonte?
Yeah, he said the dog park. Remember that study? He said
every night.
Dogs in spring training every night.
He said Joe Torre got his own table at the dog racing track.
Oh, wow, man.
I mean, think about that life. You go play baseball from 9 to 5, right. And then at night you go bet on the dogs. You wake up the next day, you go play baseball.
This is crazy.
It's not bad at all. You want to do football? Football?
Let's do it.
Let's knock it out.
You start, Monte, or you one of you two.
Back to the start 90s. This one.
All right, I'll start. I got Bill Walsh. Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, and I know I'm going to take this from. Actually, I'll give this guy back to Guru because I know he's going to take it. I'm going to take Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan.
Oh, wow.
Buddy Ryan instead of the other guy I was going to take because I think Guru will probably want him, and rightfully so.
All right. I got you, Goo. Bill you Parcells.
That's a good list. You can't Bill go Parcells. Wrong with
this. Yeah, Parcells.
Okay. Parcells. Love Parcells. I love that tough love. Bill Walsh has to be on this list. Don Shula. Don Shula did it for a long time, always wanted to play for Don Shula. And Jimmy Johnson, even though he coached the Hated Cowboys and the Miami Hurricanes, Jimmy Johnson really seemed like his players loved him. He gravitated towards his players gravitated towards him. He had that passion, that swagger. He would talk that talk. He did not care. He did it his way. So those four, Parcells, Walsh, Don Shula, Jimmy Johnson.
Wow.
I like that.
I got Tom Landry.
That's the guy I had.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I
appreciate you letting me have
him. Yeah, you're welcome.
Tom Landry. I got Bill Walsh. I mean, this guy created his own offense, still in use today with the West Coast. Dick Vermeil. And Dick Vermeil is because I'm an emotional guy. This dude would cry after the game, win or loss, but I just love the emotion. So I'm going Dick Vermeil. And to close it out is Bill Belichick. And I just feel like I would be in a position to win Matt Steinmetz no matter what we had. He would be playing chess while everybody else would be playing checkers. And he was that guy. He wasn't about the sound bites, even though he is a walking sound bite. He didn't say much.
Yeah,
it was about the W's. And I would just love to play for him.
Yeah, got a couple on the text line, some pretty good ones. This is a little off the beaten track, but I love it. I love this kind of thinking. From the 510, Bob Lattiser from De La Salle.
That's a good one.
That's a really
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
So
I like
that. Advantages, but I got to give that.
Wait, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, advantages?
Like.
What are you talking about?
Let's say Logan, for instance.
Uh-huh.
They could only get the kids from Union City.
Sure.
Newark Memorial. They could only get the kids from Newark.
Right.
But the more you learn and the more you hear, you know, the street talk or whatever.
It's a Catholic
school. There's whispers. I know, but they
could get. It's a Catholic school.
They could go. The earth was their turf. So, you know, I just felt like they could get whoever and whatever they wanted. Stoney. Yeah.
No, they didn't.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it was unfair a little bit.
No, I don't look at it like that at all,
actually. How do you look at it?
And I'm dead serious. Okay, well, first of all, they're a Catholic school. So they're going to draw from more than one county or more than one district. So Bob Lattiser builds up an unbelievable program. And, like, I don't really think he had a recruit. I think that if you were a kid, like,
he didn't.
Growing up in Pittsburgh, and you could get into De La Salle, and you were a heck of a football player, you'd be like, you know, not that, first of all, when I was covering Pittsburgh and De La Salle in the late 90s, mid-90s, Pittsburgh was really good. Like, really good teams. Yep. But what I'm saying is, if you were a, you know, you're a high school kid, like, Bob Lattiser would not have to recruit me to go to De La Salle if I were a good football player. I'd want to go there.
Right.
And
but I guess
guru,
what I'm
look
saying,
at those
Sonny,
teams.
What are you
look
saying?
At those teams, Guru. Look at those teams. They were never the biggest or fastest team on the football field. They did it with execution, with fundamentals. I mean, he coached those guys up at De La Salle. Their lines compared to the SoCal lines down in Southern California, their offensive lines probably weighed no more than 215, 220, and they still beat teams up. So you got to give them credit for coaching those guys up.
Too.
Yeah, sure.
You know what? I'm going to put the hater prospects. Bronte, I'm going to put the haterade down and just say, I don't know how many years they went without losing a game, regardless the rules or who they recruiting or who they're not. That was real. I don't know what. Do you guys know off the top of your head how many years they went? And I ain't flipping. It was incredible. So on that record, from that standpoint, I got to tip my cap. But what you just said to me, Stoney, was let's just say you had a kid in Oakland that wanted to go to Logan. And not just because they were winning, he just wanted to be a part of it. He couldn't do it. The bylaws, you couldn't do it. You got to play in your jurisdiction. But because they were a Catholic school and they didn't have to recruit, I still feel like that gives you some advantages to build up the program. If Armani Toomer or guys like that wanted to go to your school, there would be no red tape you had to get through. You know what I mean?
So you got a problem with Catholic schools.
Well, I don't like the way that
because every Catholic school in the country is like that. I mean, up, there were two Catholic schools. There were 20 schools in the county. There were two Catholic schools. If you went to one of the 10, you know, one of the 10 schools, you would go to Central. If you went to the other 10, you'd go to Holy Name. It's just, you know. What's
no, you're
problem
right.
With Catholicism?
SI's got a lot of guys. St. Ignatius got a lot of guys from, they have a lot of kids from Moran, from San Mateo County. I mean, that's what they do. That's what these schools do. And you just think back to De La Salle. First of all, I don't think they lost a game to another California opponent since like 92. Amani Toomer last year. Yeah. And that was to Pitt. That was to Pitt. I mean,
they dominated
Northern California. You can't hate on that. And it's just the execution. But yeah, sure, guys will take Bart to go to De La Salle, but they have that type of pool. They have that type of leeway.
510, a little pushback on Guru. Hey, whoa, says the 510. I went to Washington. I went to Washington back in the day, and Logan had three times the students we did. And we had to compete with Logan.
Well,
crickets.
No, hold on now. I got Union City's smaller than Fremont. Fremont's humongous. Man. So that is a stat, and that's true. But, you know, all we had was the Union to pick from. And, you know, Fremont was so big, you had five high schools you had to choose from.
I know some guys who were going to Logan who weren't necessarily living in Union City.
Well, you got to know that that changed, too. That changed. Yeah, because it changed now, fellas. You can do it now, Stoney.
Let me ask you this, Guru, you crybaby. What school has more students, Logan or De La Salle?
Oh, Logan.
Thank you. Thank you. Much better. Uh-oh. No, by the way,
cry baby.
4A, I'll tell you what, and I agree with this. He says, my Lord, the first time I saw De La Salle play, they were the most in sync team I've ever seen. You know what? That's where I'm at. When I was working at the Contra Costa Times in 1995, and I covered De La Salle football for 2 years, and where I came from in Pennsylvania, they had good football. They had really good football. But, like, De La Salle, I was blown away by how well-coached they were, how they executed, how they were just – it was just like – it was watching a more talented team.
Wow.
Who's also the better coach team. They were incredible. Incredible.
Listen
Bob
to this
Lattiser's
nugget.
Unbelievable coach.
Their record against Northern California schools, you guys probably saw this, dating back to 1991 is 300-0-2. So they haven't lost two ties. Good God, man.
Absolute execution. That wishbone, that veer option that they run, the veer option they run, the running backs that they had. But you got to give that coach credit, man. He coached those kids up.
Steiny, you covered Pittsburgh High when they were good at football,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
You know what? It's really, you know, they were good until they played De La Salle. You know, then they'd get beat 35-14 or something. It was, I got to go back, and this is in the mid-90s, and I know, I want to be kind of precise, but, man, I was very impressed with Bob Lattiser and how he coached.
Pittsburgh High School marching band was incredible. If you guys can, look up their videos on, like, Instagram and YouTube. Pittsburgh's high school marching band, just as good as the team.
Really?
Now, what makes a marching band incredible?
You know it when you see it.
Swagger when they play it.
Yeah, you know it when you see it.
Like, they're dope.
I got you. Yeah. Shout out to the black schools.
You know, you want a band full of people who all pretend they're dot in the eye in Ohio or something like that. All right, we come back. We'll take some of your Mount Rushmore coaches you would have loved to have played for. Also want to get into the greatest non-champion of all time. We got to get back to that bracket. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.